Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We sure appreciate that. It's time for your listener questions, and we have a question from listener Jennifer about secret menu items at the counter service restaurants around Walt Disney World, and we may need your help with this one, so stay tuned for that. First, a word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my iPhone 7. I know it's kind of antiquated now, but I still see that we're in the teens, folks, 17 days to go till we head down to Walt Disney World. Changed resorts, we were at movies last week, now we're over at Pop Century, but we're celebrating New Year's Eve with the mouse and many of our friends. You can get excited for that next trip as well. Right now when I look at my phone, I see a great picture of Spaceship Earth at night, getting me excited for palm trees in January. You can do the same. Download Days to Go WDW and turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Drop by virtualmickey.com. Today's show is also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. I don't want to have to tell you, but man, Christmas is sneaking up on us. It is very, very soon. So as you do that online shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link for all of your purchases. It really does help the show and you'll get all of your Prime benefits. Cost you nothing extra. Just click on beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon before you do all of your online shopping this holiday season.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1262 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And agent over at the Magic for Less Travel, thanks so much for joining us today. We hope that you are having a great Wednesday. It's time to, of course, answer your listener questions. So we are going to do that today and got some questions about food. So that's always a good thing. It seems to be a theme with the BOGP family. Just an update. I know I've been getting a lot of questions and comments over the past couple of weeks about Magical Mouse Radio. Of course, it's been out there for a long time, since 2009. Right now, Magical Mouse Radio is it's kind of retired there to the old retirement community for just a bit, maybe. We're working on it. We always want to make this a great experience for you, and Radionomy kind of solved that problem. Kind of didn't. It wasn't the best. Ever since Live 365 went away a couple of years ago, it hasn't been the best. So we are looking for a way to bring it back around to the quality it was back when we launched. So for right now, and the good news is there's lots of ways to stream music nowadays. So, you know, not too big a deal. You can probably get that music pretty simply, but we're gonna work on it. But it's taking a break for right now. But stay tuned. We don't give up on things. So I'll let you know as soon as possible if and when we get Magical Mouse Radio back to the glory of the late 2008, 2009, 2010. We'll work really hard on that. So just know that we are working on it, but it is taking a little break for right now. All right, so joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have Ricky from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
It's the cold that never ends. It just goes on, my friends. I'm so tired of being sniffly.
So that's the price you pay for going to Walt Disney World in the wintertime.
I know, right? Oh my goodness. The sucker is just holding on for dear life. So I'd like to stop blowing my nose. That would be really nice. That's my wish for Christmas this year.
Well, how about
sad little Christmas wish?
It is a sad little Christmas wish, but how about you guys down in the South getting some snow? We haven't got a flake here in the Midwest, but boy, you guys got some.
Oh my
lucky.
Goodness. So totally got about, I want to say about 5 or so inches of snow here, maybe about roughly. It was cuckoo, man. I'm telling you, they let our work. I wasn't at work on Friday of last week, but they let us off early, because it was snowing. It's just crazy. I mean, you know, it's Atlanta. So, you know, they definitely don't know how to drive in the snow, but, I was out there driving around, you know, going to pick up food at Steak and Jake because I was hungry, so I didn't have a problem. But yeah, it's it's interesting living in the South when they say the word snow and everybody freaks out. So
that's so weird because we always get Steak and Shake when it snows here. Like, that's our go-to. Like, get some chili, get a burger, and we're set.
I wanted to go to Chick-fil-A, but Chick-fil-A was a little bit further down the road, and I was like, well, it is snowing pretty good right now, so I felt like Steak and Shake was a good choice. So yes. It was delicious.
Snowmageddon.
Chili is what I got too.
2017 comes to the Deep South. Gotta love it. Breaking news. Yeah. All right. Also joining us, where snow is no big deal. They laugh at it. They just grin and say, go away.
Right.
We have Pam Forrester. She's co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's up, Pam?
I know. Like, it always does crack us up. We do like to make fun of the South. But I mean, you know, just because people can't, because y'all can't drive in the snow. So just going to say, you can't do that. But, here, if we couldn't drive in the snow, we'd be sad and we'd be hungry and stuck inside a lot. You have to get used to driving in the snow here. So anyway, so we've had a little bit so far.
I had to laugh though. It was Sunday morning and like the roads were relatively clear, maybe like a patch of ice or, you know, something on them. And they were seriously telling people, stay home, don't go out on the roads. And I'm like, they're fine. They're
I know, but remember what happened a few years ago. It was huge mess. It was just such a huge mess. So anyways, yeah, totally understand that. But yeah, looking forward to this time of year. We have to hope that the conversation, the Disney conversation, will warm us all up a little bit.
Cross our fingers. And let me just remind you of this. Those people that are running marathon weekend 4 weeks from today, it'll all be over. We'll already be done. Most of us will be home. We've been training for a year. Holy cow, it's right around the corner. So strap in. It's going to be a fun ride here over the next month. But to kick things off, Jennifer's got a question, and we might need your help on this one. I talked about this at the top of the show in the ad read. Jennifer says, hey, Mike, I'm listening to the Frontierland podcast and have a quick question. Do you know if there is a new secret menu item that replaced the Nacho Challenge? I really wanted to surprise my family with the Nacho Challenge until it ended in October. Thanks for your time, Jen. So, Ricky, do you know any, like, secret menu item that has come to Pecos Bills? And for folks who don't know what about a secret menu item and the Nacho Challenge, give a little backstory there. What was up with that?
Yeah, so every once in a while, Disney will come up with this secret menu item. It's not the idea behind it is it's not on the menu. You just have to kind of know that it exists, usually by word of mouth. And it's generally something that, usually it's a food item that combines a few different food items together. I haven't heard anything since they had the Nacho Challenge. What that was it was basically a giant, it was at Pecos Bills. It was a giant plate of nachos that was brought out to your table that fed, I want to say like, it seemed like 10 people or something like that. Like it was a giant plate of nachos.
It was so huge.
Yeah. So did you do it, Pam?
We did not do it because we just weren't there with a big enough group of folks. Yeah. And if it was just me, Steve, and Hannah, then
I mean, it kind of seems like down the nachos.
Not going to pass the challenge. Too challenging for us.
Yes. So, I mean, it was a great idea in theory. I think what kind of hurt it is that they only offered it to like a limited number of people per hour. It was maybe like 4, I think, was the number of people that they limited it to, which I could kind of understand because obviously, you know, it takes a lot to make the giant nacho plate. But also, like, if it's something that you're having as a secret menu item and it's kind of going around social media, like, having such a limited number really, I think, hinders it. So that might be part of why it went away. And I don't, you know, like I said, I haven't heard of anything recently that's come out since they had the Nacho Challenge. But I'm sure that as soon as if they come out with something else, it will be on social media everywhere at that point. So
I don't understand. I'll just be the first to admit this, and maybe this is me just showing my age. I don't know. But I don't understand the whole secret menu item thing either. Like, it's either on the menu or it's not on menu. Like, right. Why is it secret? Right. Like, I don't understand. So anyways,
maybe it's a test. I don't know. Like, are you testing this and you're trying to see if it'll work? Like, go out. Ooh, maybe we could do this nacho challenge thing and see if it'll work as a viable option for us. And
I guess, but is it, and then that they limited it so much, like, does it really take that much more preparation to make the big secret nachos than it would if you had 25 people come in and order nachos at the same time?
It's all right.
I'm just saying, like, it seems like a math problem to me. If how is X plus Y? How is the sum greater than its parts? I don't know. But anyways, again, maybe it's just something I don't understand.
I get it, Pam. I get it.
Yeah, I know. I never did it, and I've never ordered anything in my life from any restaurant with a secret menu because I guess it's a secret, and I didn't know that there was an option to do that.
I mean, that's kind of what
a secret is. But I mean, I picture, like, okay, there's going to be a dude working that's got a cowboy hat on, but he's not wearing the normal cowboy hat. It's a white cowboy hat. Everybody else wearing a brown cowboy hat, but he's got the white one on. Go up to him after 4 p.m., but before 4:15.
That was a really limited time, meaning, like, it was only a certain number of hours, too. Like, it was, like, from 4 to, like, 9 or something like that. So, literally, they were serving these nachos to, like, 5, you know, different sets of people. I don't know. There was just no way, feasible way for it to be anything. I don't know.
And the kicker is the cast member's name will be Bill. And yes, he goes by Pecos. You got to call him Pecos when you order.
You got to call him Pecos.
That's how it's going to be. Anyways, who knows? If anybody knows and can help Jennifer out after this long explanation of how you order stuff that you don't even know is there, let us know on social media at BRGuestMike on Twitter and Facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. All right, Megan's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My husband and I are headed down to Disney for our first spring break trip. We're both teachers, so we're going to need it. We have two questions. One, we need to rent a car for a day to drive down to Jupiter for our friend's wedding. Tricked me there. Why would you go to Jupiter in spring if you're from St. Louis? That's where the Cardinals have spring training. Got to go by there anyway. So do the Marlins, but they're going to be a minor league team this year from what I'm hearing. Anyway, I saw online that Alamo and National have car rental places on Disney property. How does this work? Should we Uber or cab over to the car rental place? All right, Ricky, have you ever done that? Or Pam, I don't know, with getting, like, Alamo and National, I think they all do the same thing. Enterprise will pick you up, and I know they do that. But Ricky, what would you suggest?
You know, I actually haven't done it from Walt Disney property. I've always done it. I've always gotten my rental car at the airport. So, or I drive. So I've never done it there. But I believe because it's like a connected thing, Alamo and National and the same thing. So I believe they'll come pick you up either way. Mm-hmm. So yep, if I know right.
So Pam, yeah, give her some advice here. How are they going to, do they schedule it? Or, you know, should they just take the question out and just Uber, you know, just on demand when they're ready? What would you do?
Once you get there, go ahead. I mean, I would call and just ask the procedure because I know that kind of stuff changes all the time. But I know when we've done it, we've called when we made the rental just to ask the procedure and then called again prior to, because again, like I'm saying, that stuff kind of changes all the time and it's good to know, you know, that you have the most up-to-date procedure, but do that. And then they'll be able to let you know. But typically I think you just call the morning of. We had to call the morning of, and they were able to go ahead and help us set that up. So,
and you know, fall back. I mean, if you got to take Uber, probably anywhere on property, you're talking probably $5 to $10. So, I mean, that's not a big deal, but I mean, you know, it's $5 to $10 you can save if you schedule it. So I'm just not a scheduler. You know, that's me. I just would, I got to get over there and get the car. So anyway, number two, this is our last question. The day after the wedding, we wanted to try one night at a deluxe, which would be a very first for us. The rest of our trip before the wedding is at French Quarter, which we love and have stayed at before. So we wanted to try a deluxe since we're checking out and taking our things with us to Jupiter since we're staying the night. We have it narrowed down to Yacht Club, Boardwalk, and Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's just the two of us, and we're looking for a quiet place to relax for a day around the resort before we fly home the next day. We may go to one of the parks near those hotels for dinner and maybe a fast pass or two, but we'll be pool bums the rest of the day. Which of these would you guys recommend for first-time deluxers? Thanks for all your help and for all the fun, Megan. And Megan is from her iPhone, which I have no idea how many miles it is from.
Oh, my goodness. You dork.
I know. Anyway, so here's the deal. So we got Yacht Club, Boardwalk, and Animal Kingdom Lodge. we've done this exact same thing. That one year, years ago, we decided to splurge one night at Beach Club, concierge level, because our annual passes were expired the day before. We didn't have park tickets anymore. So we just stayed at the hotel. We stayed at Stormalong Bay the entire time. And just, it was like our first foray into deluxe resorts too. Kind of the same situation. It was amazing. So I would say Yacht Club would be awesome, especially when you said that you might want to go to a nearby park. You could be in Epcot very quickly. You could ride some rides in there, use those fast passes. You have all the dining options of the boardwalk for some nice meals. I almost wanted to go Animal Kingdom Lodge because of the thematic experiences you can have there for the one day standard deluxe. But I would say Yacht Club because you want to be pool bums. So Pam, I'm going to throw this one to you. Give her some advice.
That was exactly what I was going to pick for, because the fact that it just has such a great pool area. I don't think that anyone can argue with the fact that the Yacht and Beach Club has one of the best pools on Disney property. It's just a great place to just hang out. And I think there's nothing wrong with that on vacation, especially on your last day. You might as well get a little R&R before you have to get back to the real world. So,
and it's totally something to look forward to the entire time. You know, while you're staying at French Quarter, that's an awesome resort. Don't get me wrong. I mean, enjoy every minute there. Enjoy your beignets. Enjoy the beautiful views of the Sassagoula River. Taking a boat ride down to Disney Springs, man, I could be there right now. I love some French Quarter. But knowing that you're staying somewhere you've never stayed at a deluxe resort, that's definitely a splurge and something to look forward to the entire trip and to come back from Jupiter for. So it sounds kind of weird. But yeah, you're coming back from Jupiter, you know. Like
you can't
planet.
Drive from Jupiter.
Yeah, that's true. I can tell you it's a boring drive down there because we drove to Miami one time from Walt Disney World. It was boring. Oh, man, I thought it'd be fun, but it was really boring. All right, Ricky, so what would you pick out of Boardwalk, AKL, and Yacht Club?
I, too, was debating whether I would say Animal Kingdom Lodge or Yacht Club, but I think you guys won me over on the Yacht Club because of Stormalong Bay. It is such an awesome pool, and if you have the opportunity to stay there and experience that pool, then that's what I'm going to suggest. However, if, you know, for some reason you're second-guessing that option, then I would say Animal Kingdom Lodge.
And what's crazy is I think about this is my favorite out of those three resorts, like all things considered, is Boardwalk right now. That's so weird because I fell in love with Boardwalk, but because I want to go to the pool and stuff. And you actually have a really high probability of getting a discount at Yacht Club over the others, too. So just a little bonus. All right. Peter has the next question. And he says, "Dear Mike, Pam, and Ricky, I'm really struggling to make up my mind." And it's the title's Help with a Cruise Dilemma. "We have recently returned from a four-night Halloween on the High Seas cruise on the Dream and have previously sailed on a five-night Maritime cruise on the Magic, both with teenage children. We're very tempted to set sail again, and we're considering the westbound transatlantic sailing next September on the Magic, but this time it'll just be my husband and I." Oh, this is Joanne, sorry. "My husband and I celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. Do you think there'll be enough to keep two adults entertained given there are quite a few sea days? I'm guessing it'll be too cold to lounge around the pool, and whilst I can relax with a book in a cozy corner, my husband tends to get bored pretty quickly. What do you guys think? Thanks for your help. I love the sprinkling of magic you bring across the pond to us in the UK. Joanne." And she says, "P.S. We're also looking at a cruise on Royal Caribbean to Asia, where we would definitely sneak in a visit to Disneyland Hong Kong. Have any of you been?" Ooh. Thanks, Joanne. I wish. I haven't been. None of us have been.
It's on the
Hong Kong,
bucket.
Right?
I know. It's seriously. On the bucket.
But yeah, that'd be sweet. A cruise to Asia would be awesome, too, man. That's. But they're in the UK, so they're closer. You know, it's not so out of reach, I guess. I guess it's not that out of reach for anybody on planet Earth anymore nowadays, but I always think it is. All right, so anyway, transatlantic cruises, Pam. I know none of us have done those. Have you? Have you done transatlantic? I don't think you have.
I have not.
So
nope.
What have you heard from?
I got to fly across the pond.
Yeah, that's key for her.
You know what? I could live on a cruise ship. I would totally do one if I just had the time to take off from work and, you know, other life obligations. But what have you heard from guests that have done that, Pam? And, you know, I know a lot of our agents have done transatlantic cruises.
They have. So, I mean, it is something that I think a lot of people, when they actually get the time to enjoy it, they love doing it. They really appreciate all the things that, you know, the cruise lines have to offer. And Disney Cruise Line, this is one area where they do a good job with this because they know that you have a lot of days at sea. So there's a lot of extra activities put in your itinerary. Your navigators will have all that kind of information for you, but you see that they have stuff going much more often. And maybe it will actually give you enough time to actually do all of the activities that you want to do, which is kind of, kind of a rarity. That's something that doesn't happen very often, I think. And I think that's what some of the appeal is for a long itinerary like this, is that people that really love the Disney Cruise Line and love the cruise line ships can really have time to completely savor that. Now, I will tell you, I could live on a cruise ship. Like Mike said, I could do that. And our last cruise that I took with just Steve and Hannah, we really didn't get off at most of the ports because we had been there before. And there was, you know, a port change because of the storm. So there were ports that we had been to again and again. So we were on a 7-night cruise where we didn't really get off much at the ports. And I will tell you, we had a great vacation. So we found plenty of things to do, and you will too.
Yeah, I think it's that thing, you know, we go on these 4-nights, 5-night cruises. We got lucky enough to do a 7-night this past summer. And I always, you know, bring books on my iPad, and I always, you know, you want to kind of like, you're on a vacation. It'd be so cool to just take a nap one afternoon, you know, by the pool or something. And inevitably, I get caught up in all the activities, and I don't get to do the smaller things that I wanted to do, you know, that you kind of picture yourself doing 6 months out, you know, like just chilling on deck 4. You know, I do that a little bit, but then I feel like I'm missing this, I'm missing that. I think that, you know, a transatlantic or, you know, maybe a Panama Canal cruise is my top of my bucket list for something I want to do someday, you know, something like that where you have time. I think it'd be awesome. So, yeah.
It was great. I read like 5 books when we were on our cruise. I mean, no joke. So, you know, it was awesome.
It's vacation. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, we talk about Disney here. We've talked about it for almost 10 years. But, I mean, it's just we get down there and we're so amped up. You know, you have the best. I think that's what's so funny. And, you know, we should do the psychology of a Disney trip sometime and talk about how, you know, your mindset 3 months before your trip, I'm going to do this. Then you get down there and the reality of it is, you know, you kind of throw everything out because you just get so fired up and you start running from place to place. You always, that's the, you know, the more you go, the less likely you're to do that. But many times you abandon those things that are kind of end up being the best part of the trip, which is kind of sad. But, you know, time on transatlantic could be fun. All right, Brittany's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. There was a follow-up from a question on episode 1241. There was a question about online check-in for room-only reservations and gift cards that I have some experience with and wanted to share. In June of 2017, I made a room-only reservation at Pop Century and only paid the deposit when booking, as I planned to pay the rest in Disney gift cards from Target when I arrived. When I went to check in online, it was pretty clear that they'd charged the balance to the credit card on file, and I didn't want that, so I called Disney and made my room request over the phone like 3 days in advance since I booked right before my trip. I checked in at 1 a.m., and when I got there, used my Disney gift cards to pay, and then added the credit card and to the account so I could charge to my Magic Band really easily. I also got my request for the renovated room. The only downside was that I actually had to go to the desk to check in and didn't have my room info texted to me, but it was no big deal. In the future, I'd probably call Disney and pay the balance with the gift card. Can't make additional room-only payments online and then check in online with a $0 balance. I hope this helps anyone wondering about this. Love the show. Brittany's in Aurora, Illinois, home of Wayne's World and 494 miles from Pam. All right, so I know you guys use Disney gift cards a lot, right? When you're paying down
your
balances.
We do, yeah, we do all the time. And they should not charge the balance of a true room-only reservation prior to your arrival. So I'm surprised that they did that, because we have that happen all the time. And typically they'll do that like when you arrive or whatnot. So, you know, that's something that Disney shouldn't do. The balance is actually due at check-in. But either way, they absolutely, no matter if you get there and you forget or whatnot, you can always go down and ask them, and they will actually reverse it and put that credit back on your credit card. and then let you play with the Disney gift cards, which is awesome, I think. They have a great system for that that, you know, you just can't compare. They're really adept at using those gift cards because so many people take them, including me. So we love using the gift cards.
I think you just, you know, you just have to be disciplined enough to buy them and plan to get that out there, you know, before it gets charged. You know, I think the best idea, she's exactly right, that when you go online, it's strange because Disney lets you do some things online and some things you can't. One of the things you cannot do is make partial payments on a room only reservation online or pay down a balance online. You do have to call that in, which is, you know, it's not a big process. You just call them and give them the gift card. And, you know, like you said, then you're golden and set. That's what I would do that. You know, just call it in, take 10 minutes. You know, you're set before you go. Everything's set. All right. Next question is from Jeff. He's up in Maine. And he has an interesting question because he was, well, I'll just read the question. We got this one, and I wanted to kind of talk about this for a second. He says, we all know that a Disney vacation can be expensive. Recently, we're working together on a trip. We talked about that, but he was checking in, kind of just looking around, browsing, as a good Disney fan always does. You're never happy with the vacation you book. You're always like, well, what's over the next little? If I spend $20 a night more, what else could I do? Could I move to Old Key West? Could I move to French Quarter, Riverside, whatever? So he says, I was just checking to see what other hotels were available for this one night he was looking for. One night. He says, what I found, I couldn't believe. One night at Animal Kingdom Lodge is $1,879. Coronado Springs was $850. And the Grand Floridian was $1,750 for one night. He says, I'm going on the Cardinal Vista the week before his night at Old Key West, and the cost was about the same as that one night at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And that's for both my wife and I, and includes food and entertainment. My question is, who can justify spending that amount of money for one night in a hotel room? $10,000 just for the hotel for a week's stay. So he's just
curious.
That's
so sweet.
I know it is. And that's the whole thing. I mean, but I think it's funny because you can't, I mean, I want to throw this in there because, you know, we all spend our money in different ways and we're all in different, you know, we make different amounts of money. And, you know, some people say paying $200 to go to Pop Century for a night is insane, you know, and some people say, you know, buying a Tesla is insane, but that's what their dream car is. The thing is, you know, I think that all of us have probably done this. You've gone on, you know, Walt Disney World's website, you've browsed around, you know, and I'm here in the Midwest, you know, we make a decent living. You know, my wife's a teacher. I sell travel now and do things. And, you know, it's just we decide to allot our money in different ways. So, Ricky, when you see this, I think it's just a matter of, you know, some people can afford this. And like Pam said, this is a suite that's going to be the most opulent. It's kind of like if you do the Walt Disney suite on the cruise line. You know, I mean, you can really go opulent for a once in a lifetime kind of thing. I don't know. What do you think when you see these kind of things, Ricky? I mean, I know I can't do it, but I'm happy with Pop Century and French Quarter, and I have no problem with other people that do. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of to each their own, and however somebody wants to spend their money is how they want to spend their money. You know, I get to go down more often because I choose to stay at my brother's, like, you know, and sleep on his couch. But there are times when Brian and I will decide to stay on property for one reason or another. And when we do, we decide to go the value route because, you know, that's just kind of where we end up deciding to go. You know, it's one of those things where Brian and I are very, very, very fiscally responsible. More Brian, and
you're
he brings me back in.
Fiscally
responsible. That is my term.
Brian's very fiscally.
Fiscally responsible. Yeah, there's a different thing. It's
love
cold.
It.
Hush. Oh my goodness.
Take some more Dayquil. Take some more Dayquil and keep
Dayquil,
going.
Yeah. But, you know, he's a lot more fiscally responsible than I am, so he kind of reins me in on what money we spend. So, you know, because of that, you know, I can't see spending that much money on, you know, a week's worth of, you know, room. But, you know, if you think that that's what you want to do and that's your prerogative, hey, go right ahead. That's how you want to do it. Yeah, you do you. That's my theory in life. You do you.
Well, the way I look at it, too, and Pam, let's get your thoughts on real quick, and then we'll move on to the next question, because I find this interesting. I mean, I think we can, this, you know, because there's so many different options at Walt Disney World and, you know, the Disney Experiences cruise line and stuff. I picture it like kind of like the car you drive. Okay, so I could get a Ford Escort, you know, or, you know, some kind of, you know, just very inexpensive compact car, you know, for, a, you know, a steal. You can get that for a song. And it's still going to get me from, you know, my house to the grocery store to if I want to go visit my buddy Scott up in Michigan, I'll get there, you know, and I might even get great gas mileage, you know, but it doesn't have any bells and whistles, might not have cruise control, might not have automatic windows. You know, it just it gets me there. OK, so I could walk around the lot, though, and look at a, you know, Maserati or a Tesla or something and get sticker shock. Like, oh, my goodness. But, you know, the Tesla will drive itself. It doesn't use combustible, you know, it's an electric car, so I don't know, you know, I'm saving the environment. You know, there's lots of pros and cons for everything. But, you know, I drive a Jeep Wrangler, not the most least expensive car in the world, but it's my, it's what I've always wanted my whole life. I'm comfortable. I've had a Jeep Wrangler for now 18 years. You know, my last two cars have been Wranglers and I love it. You know, it's just, it's what is comfortable to me. It's a vehicle that I choose to drive and I love it. You know, there's a lot nicer cars. There's a lot less expensive cars, but it's where I'm happy. You know, I think it kind of fits in where I am with my Disney trips. You know, I love a good, you know, value resort and I really love a good moderate resort, you know, Coronado Springs or Riverside or French Quarter. Right up my alley. You know, it's right where I'm at. I'm comfortable paying that. I have a great experience there. I really don't need to go much further than that most times. So what do you think, Pam? I mean, I think it's, you know, the car analogy works, but how do you think about when you see, you know, these very, very upper end accommodations at Walt Disney World?
I think that's what I love about the whole Walt Disney World resort is there is a resort price that fits just about everyone's budget. And there is a resort theme that fits everyone's desires. And you know, that's what makes the world go round, our differences in that space. I mean, there are plenty of trips where I think, okay, you know what? I have a really focused travel. I'm just going to be doing these things. I don't need this, this, or this in a resort, so I'm going to stay here. Or there's other times when I'm thinking, you know, we're going to spend a bit more time at the resort. I want it to be a comfortable experience, so I'm going to stay here. Or if, you know, Han's going to be with us, and I know that we're all going to feel like we want a little extra space and we want to enjoy our time, then I'm looking at, you know, possibly a villa just because I want to be able to take advantage of those amenities. And I think that's the beauty of Disney outlining it this way and having things like value resorts, moderate resorts, deluxe resorts, and deluxe villa resorts. There's a choice for everyone that will meet your needs. You know, someone who's making way more than I do doesn't think twice about spending $1,000 per night on their Disney vacation. I go way too often for that to be something that I need to consider. And like Mike and Ricky also said, we're also at the point where we don't have debt and we don't do anything to put ourselves in debt or to carry a credit card debt. And that's, I'm not saying that because I say this is the way that everyone should live. I know that doesn't work for everyone, but that's what works for our family. So we make decisions based on that too. You know, to that end, I will say that we have, you know, a big chunk of a paycheck taken out every time and put into an account where we just pull money from for vacations because for us, vacations are a priority. So just like we save for retirement, we save for maybe unreimbursed medical expenses, we save for, you know, everything else that's important to us. Vacation actually, you know, has its own account as well. And we always make sure that we fund that account, you know, as best as we can. So,
yeah, good point. I mean, because when I tell people what we pay for an annual pass, you know, people here in St. Louis, they die, you know, like, what to go to Disney for a year? You know, but like, that's what, I mean, we get good value out of that. That's where we meet all of our friends. You know, like all of our friends, we tend to, you know, we have most of our friends are not in St. Louis. I mean, we got friends in St. Louis, but a lot of our good friends are from other places around the world. And that just happens to be where we tend to meet up and have the times each year that we really treasure. So that's just the cost of doing business. So we do pay that. And our friends think we're crazy for doing that. You know, we do have debt, by the way. Truman the Tiger comes to our house if we don't pay the bill on time. He comes and comes with like a lead pipe. So I'm just saying, you know, he looks all cheerful and happy on the sidelines of the football and basketball games, but every once in a while he has to a whacky in the knee if you don't pay your bill. So you gotta, you know, if you see me limping, you know that we were late that month. So anyway, let's get to the next question. It's a Magical Express question. It's from Lori, and she's in Kansas City. She says, go, and I can't even say the name of the school that's there because this is a Mizzou podcast, and that will not, we do not say bad words on the Be Our Guest podcast. So sorry, go, and you know what you put in the line, but I'm not going to say it. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm planning a trip to the world for 7 people. Myself, my husband, 2 daughters, 3 and 6. Let's get them. They're still young enough. You can sway those over to Mizzou. My parents and brother for mid-May of 2018, staying at our Art of Animation for 5 nights. Our plane is scheduled to arrive at 4:45 p.m. on a Sunday. I'm going back and boat back and forth, I guess, about utilizing Magical Express. From what I've read, it can be a long wait to leave our bags. And our bags might take 3 hours to arrive, so possibly not arriving to our room until 8 o'clock p.m. We want to be able to get to the resort and get a quick swim in and dinner before getting the kids to bed at a decent time, so I'm worried about not having all the kids' nighttime necessities. What is your experience with Magical Express wait times and bag delivery? What other transportation options would you recommend from the airport if not Magical Express? Thanks in advance, Lori. All right, Pam. Pam, talk to her about this. You know, what should she consider? Magical Express.
I have an easy peasy solution for you. Don't tag your bags with your Magical Express tags. And instead, just go to the carousel and get them and go ahead and take them down with you to the Magical Express bus. Then they'll be traveling with you underneath the bus and you'll be able to arrive with your luggage in hand. And I think that's the best solution, regardless of what wait times typically are or wait times usually are for your luggage. It doesn't matter because there's always that time that it's not typical. And to avoid that altogether, just go ahead and grab those bags yourself.
Yep, that's exactly what I would do. But you know what? It can take a while. I mean, the other option would be to just pay, you know, if you want to go swimming, you have that carry-on, that day bag that you put the suits in and anything they're going to need for night, you know. But that could be a lot. I guess you got pajamas and stuff like that for kids. Yeah, so I just grab your bags. That's good too. Good, good job there. Okay, next, actually, it's our last question of the day. Comes from Gene. It looks like, hello, we're planning our second family trip to Walt Disney World, and I'm so excited. We're a family of 4. Kids are 8 and 3, and my in-laws will be joining us for part of the time. We'll be there for 8 nights in April, staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Woohoo! And that's in the email. I don't know if it was supposed to be said like that, but it is. I have 2 questions I would love for you to answer if you can. First, we are planning 6 definite park days plus 1 rest day and leaving our final day flexible before we enjoy Mickey's Backyard Barbecue in the evening. Should I buy 7-day tickets just in case we want to go into a park, or is it possible to buy a 6-day ticket and add 1 while we're on the trip if needed? Ricky, what would you do in this case? They're definitely going in for 6. 7th day, they're not sure. They're going to rest and go to Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. What would you do? Add it now or add it later?
You know, it depends on how much is it to add the extra day. I mean, if it's just a few dollars, then I might just go ahead and add it ahead of time just in case. But if you're just questioning it and you decide, hey, you know what, I want to add it, you know, while you're in the, you know, while you're there, you can easily do that too. So, I mean, personally, I would probably add it ahead of time, but if it's just a couple extra bucks, but that's just me.
Yeah. So what the deal is you're going to pay the same price, whether you add it during your trip or add it pre-trip, unless ticket prices change from here and there. It's the only thing that would change. The thing to consider, though, is that you can make your fast passes early at 60 days on that 7th day of your ticket at 60 days. Or if you add it, you know, while you're there, you probably won't have fast passes, but I mean, you have to add them then. So that's, Pam, what would you do in this situation? I mean, you're right. I mean, once you get to days 6 and 7, there's not a huge price increase. It sounds like they may want to go to the park. They're not sure. I mean, I think everybody's been in this boat at some point.
It is. And I am one who tends to err on the side of if it's like a $10 or less expense, then I would probably just add it. I don't know off the top of my head what the difference is between the two. But if it's not much, then I would just add it in hopes of being able to make FastPass Plus reservations like Mike suggested. I mean, yeah, you can always add it while you're there, but then you lose that advantage of getting FastPass Plus in advance. And It is an advantage to have those FastPass Plus set up as a girl who's trying to plan her January trip at kind of the last minute. It definitely is.
I have not planned my January trip. I should probably make some FastPasses.
You can talk to Scott Gardner, the travel agent to the travel agents. He's good at that. Exactly. That's what he does. All right.
It's an advantage.
Definitely. Okay. Second question. He says, we're currently holding on to the BR guest ADRs for both pre-park opening at 8:10 a.m. and lunch. Which would you go with and why? We can't decide. Thanks so much for your thoughts. All right. So, Pam, they got a breakfast 8:10 pre-park opening or lunch at BR guest. What would you do? Because it sounds like they only want to do one or the other.
I would do lunch, and I will tell you why. Those park opening reservations have a way of not being at park opening if adjustments are made to the Magic Kingdom schedule. And it's something that happens quite a bit. And I've seen some people get so disappointed with that. And I feel bad for them. But those park hours are always very much subject to change. Unless you're going at a time that you think will be really not busy. And it's important for you to be there at opening, then include that. But I just find the morning to be such a valuable time in any of the parks, really, because you get to get on attractions with little to no wait. And I would want to make sure that I can fully take advantage of that. So that's why I prefer to go for lunch.
Agreed. Both for the time that you can, you know, the Magic Kingdom is such a target-rich environment. You can get so much done in that first hour or two. And like you said, the park hours could change on you. And you may open at 8 o'clock, and then all of a sudden you're just kind of behind the herd. Ricky, any final thoughts on this predicament?
Nope.
Just have some more DayQuil. You're good. All right. You're set. Okay, good. All right. Well, that's going to do it. That's good. I mean, we got to take it. You got to ease your way back in when you're sick. You know, you're here.
Absolutely. Got to make it.
You're like Cal Ripken. You're here because you got to keep the streak alive. But, you're playing injured, so we get it.
I am. I'm playing injured today. Yeah.
All right. You made it through. You did it. Yay. We'll see how you are on Friday. Maybe you'll magically be better in a couple days. Probably not.
Nope,
but
I'm
going to go with no too, but we'll see how it works. All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our great friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition, a free iOS app that turns your Apple device into a Disney device. Ricky, go to the birds. What are we talking about this week?
Okay. So for those of you who have not been paying attention, Disney is doing these 12 days of Disney Parks Christmas thing. And basically what they're doing is they're giving us information about different things, you know, a little bit more information about things that are going on in the Disney community. So this past week, we learned about the Disney Skyliner, the gondola system. So, as we knew before, we knew that the characters were going to be incorporated into the attraction. Basically, they're going to appear on the exterior of the attraction. So you get to see characters like the Fab Five, figures from your favorite Disney attractions like the Haunted Mansion Ghost, fan favorites from movies like Belle and Beast from Beauty and the Beast, etc., etc. There are going to be stations at Epcot. The Epcot station is going to be by the International Gateway, and it will be inspired by the park's nearby European Pavilion that are over there with metal and glass canopies. I cannot talk today. See,
you are NyQuil drunk is what you are today.
I must be on the NyQuil. No, I'm actually on good medicine right now. So hand-painted murals and ornamental steel structures that harken back to the early 18th century Art Nouveau style. And guests will be able to see a bird's eye view of World Showcase. Then there's also a station at Disney's Hollywood Studios, which will fit the main park entrance and bus stations with the green kind of color pattern going on there, with great views of things like Tower of Terror. There's going to be a station at Caribbean Beach, which will feel like an open air village marketplace, and it will kind of have that Caribbean styling going on there. And this is going to be the transportation hub. So when you're wanting to go to Epcot, or you're wanting to go to Hollywood Studios or one of the other resorts, you're going to have to probably transfer at this station right here to get to another one of the gondola stations. And then the last station that we have information on right now is Disney's Pop Century and Disney's Art of Animation, which are going to share a Skyliner station that's going to feel whimsical that matches both resorts. Also, for those who are wondering, there is another station. It is going to be at the new resort that Disney announced over at D23, but we don't have any information about. So that's what the Disney Riviera? Is that the right one? So it will be over there too. So just keep that in mind, that there is another station that they're just not talking about right now. So just know that we don't have an opening date for the Skyliner, but it's going to be exciting when it does.
Can't wait to ride the old gondolas. It's going to be soon. It's going to be awesome too. They just need to make a car for the Be Our Guest podcast. You know, the crew there. We got our cartoon people
Absolutely.
Already. I mean,
oh my gosh, now. Have our faces in it. Yes.
Exactly. We have that nice cartoon down of us.
I think we've already got that ready to go. We can put that up in the window. I think that will be no problem. Right?
If not, at least we'll slap one of those magnets on there, you know, and take a picture and take it off real quick before we get kicked out for life. Anyway, so, you know, great stories just like this. I mean, it's just like you got everything you need right there. But, hey, check it out tomorrow. It'll be different. So Theme Park News Disney Edition over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike. We've got a great Facebook page, facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. And as you do that online shopping this week, please do support the Be Our Guest Podcast. Click on BRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And as you purchase those things, we get a little kickback from Amazon. It really does help pay for the bandwidth and the hosting and all that good stuff. And we'd really appreciate that again. So BRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon as you do your online shopping. And send in those questions. We need some good ones, some current ones. Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. We'll get those on the air right away. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday and talking Disney, of course, warming you up wherever you are in the world, getting you ready for the next Disney vacation. So for Ricky and Mike, Ricky and Pam.
You're catching my disease.
And I'm healthy, I think. I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BRGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.